So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
Audrey said once that she wanted to be like Auntie Mame. You know, the Rosalind Russell character from the 1958 movie? I took it to mean that she wanted to be glamorous, flamboyant, an independent woman of means who called her own shots. That wasn't the life that Audrey lived. When she wanted to go to college, for instance, her parents told her no, she couldn't go because her sister had never completed it. When she wanted to audition for a dance company, her parents told her no, nice girls don't do that. Nice girls don't dance. By 1970, like a lot of women from her generation, she was a housewife and a new mother to me. Because she was my mother, I got to know her pretty well, and she was quite a character. She was funny, irreverent, talented. She was Pinteresting before Pinterest even was a thing. She was also a little bit stubborn and cruel. She had a lot of shoulds for herself, for everyone else, and for me. As I got older, we locked horns. She wanted to continue to influence all of my choices, from whom I dated to what I majored in college. And the more I tried to assert my independence, the madder she got. Boundaries were breached, and by the time that she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in her 50s, just a few years older than I am now, we were what I would call emotionally estranged. Rheumatoid arthritis changed my mother. She went from being 5'11 to bedridden. She divorced my father. But still, she seemed to think that there was work to be done. Her mind was sharp as a tack, and so we continued this journey together for many years until we decided that it would be better if she moved closer to me, if she moved to Bernie, where she moved to a nursing home because she was too disabled, really, for me to care for her. This was a difficult choice for me to make, honestly, because as an only child, I knew kind of what I was getting into was going to be tough and labor-intensive, but we shouldered on. I kept a bag packed by the front door so that I could join her at the ER as needed, and as we went along, we discovered that doctors and nurses were marvel at how my mother's case became more and more complicated, but she kept living. She's a fighter, they would say, and that fight was important, but it came at a cost to me. Because like so many caregivers, I had to balance her fight and my efforts to keep her agency to make all the medical and financial choices that she wanted alongside my own life. It got tough. I even got sick from the stress at one point. By 2016, it was clear that the rheumatoid arthritis had moved from her joints to her urinary tract, to her heart, and then to her lungs. And it was clear that time was running out. It seemed unfair, given all that she had gone through, that the end was going to be as ugly as it would prove to be. And I remember anticipating that unfairness and talking with an ICU nurse the night before I had to make the choice, when I drove through a pounding rainstorm to sign the hospice papers. When I'd anticipated that this moment would come, I always kind of figured that Mom and I would be there alone at the end. And we weren't. Out of nowhere, before the ink was dry on the hospice paper, these women showed up. Her friends, my friends, our friends, nurses, nursing administrators whom she'd fought with over the years, they continued to show up over the coming days. They filled her hospital room, her nursing home room, out into the hallway. They sat with me on the front porch drinking Topo Chico and really bad tequila and talking about life and love and what it all means. They fed my mother her last bites of food. And it was in this womb-like embrace of womanhood that Mom and I started to really say goodbye. We'd done a lot of the dress rehearsal part. We kind of evened up the score a little bit with one another and talked through things. But in those last days, as we did that final work, other voices chimed in, including one very handsome psychologist Mom had met who marched into her off into her nursing home room and said, "Audrey, it's time to cut the crap. You're running out of time, and we need to have a heartfelt conversation about how you're one of the smartest people I ever met, and had you been born in a different time or place, you could be anything you wanted to be." I wasn't there for that conversation, but when I walked in, my mother was glowing. He saw her in a way she'd never been seen before, and it was beautiful. There were a lot of other tough conversations that we had to have, like when she woke up one morning and couldn't remember what was happening, and she asked me if she was dying. I told my mother the truth. Then she showed that she was scared because she asked me what was going to happen to her soul. And I told her the truth. You're going to heaven. I'm sure of it. She wept a little bit and went back to sleep. I went in the hallway and sobbed. The last Saturday of my mother's life, I looked at her eyes and noticed that something had changed. The blue part where the iris was now kind of looked technicolor, like clouds on a blue sky. It was really beautiful. Or like maybe there were mirrors inside of her eyes that were reflecting the heaven that she could see on the other side of that room that no one else could witness. I knew then her soul had crossed over. A few more hours passed, and then she began experiencing what they call agonal respiration, which is where the brainstem continues this forced breathing out of habit. It was a lot to take, and I stayed as long as I could, and then I went home. Right as I pulled into the driveway, the phone call came. It's time, said the hospice nurse. I can't come back. You don't have to, she said. A few minutes passed and the phone rang again. My mother was gone. This time, the nurse asked if I wanted to come back and see the body, and I declined. I couldn't anymore. I was exhausted. And then she said she had an unusual request. Never before had she seen so many non-family members standing out front wanting to come in and say goodbye. And so we let them. And that's when I realized that by getting out of the way, I let her call her own shots, just like Auntie Mame. There at the end. February 4th is my mother's birthday. That's tonight. I'm confident she's out there dancing in the stars, just as sure as I'm standing before you.